have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and I am joined by my good friend Ruthie, who is one of our volunteers at onlinechurch.com. Ruthie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So Ruthie and I have known each other for 4 or 5 years now, 4 years.
Four and a half, almost, well, four in May.
Well, tell the story, Ruthie, of how we met and what our relationship has been kind of centered around.
Okay. I had a very time-consuming job in California, and I retired in May of 2012, and I was on my way to Virginia to retire because I had lots and lots of friends, and that was my husband's last duty station in the Navy. And so I was going back to retire with all my friends back there. And I had a son who lives here in San Antonio. So Mother's Day was in my game plan. So they called me and they said, please, please, it's Mother's Day. I was up in Dallas. And so I drove all the way down to San Antonio to spend Mother's Day with them. And we went to the 1 o'clock service at CBC. And I'm sitting there in the service, not so much because of what Pastor Chris said, but just God was just really talking to me. And he said, you're home. And I walked out of church. You know, I shook, you know how you do, you shake your head. And, and I walked out of church and we're driving along because I was riding and I'm just looking at everything. And God says, you're home. That's for a week. That's all I heard was you're home.
Yeah.
So we went back the next week because I didn't leave.
Yeah,
and we went back the next week, and it was one of those interest groups out in the hallway.
Yeah,
and I met these two zany guys named Nels and Chris, and we just started laughing like crazy and just talking about different things. And they were right next to this other ministry, which worked with homeless and poverty people, which has been the ministry of my life. And I've never been a very technical computer person.
Yeah.
And so the two exhibits were right next to each other. And my heart just went out to under the bridge. But I loved these two zany guys who had this pioneer idea. And I'm a pioneer person. And so I said, okay, I've got to pray about this. So I went and visited under the bridge. Beautiful people. I love them to pieces. Still pray for them. But I was invited to, well, just come and get on online church and see what we're doing. It was all recorded at that time.
Yeah.
And I was hooked within 30 seconds because I got on and somebody from Pakistan who was hiding under a big thick blanket locked in his bedroom so that he could watch on his little iPad.
Yeah.
And he was just asking for prayer for protection because he had just become a Christian and I was gone. I knew, having been a missionary in my young age, that I knew that this was my mission field. And so I got a home and stayed here. And I've been to Virginia twice to visit, but
yeah,
I'm here.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so you and I got close quick and you basically became
Wednesdays at noon.
Wednesdays at noon was our meeting time, as you were basically a full-time volunteer almost immediately.
Yeah.
I remember one of the things, you know, I felt like I would have an idea and you'd be like, I can do it. And one of those was we read a statistic that the most active times that people are looking at pornography on the internet are noon and midnight. And so we want to capture people and run advertisings and different things to capture people so that they look at church, they go to church rather than look at porn. And you're like, well, I want to be online when they get there so I can minister to them. And you did every night. And I felt like it was every night. We're on it.
Midnight to three. There were a lot of foreign gentlemen and some American gentlemen that, we talked about how online church was, because they'd get on and, you know, there's no live picture, so they couldn't tell I was 72 years old. You know, and they, of course, our conversations would start off with trying to be picked up.
Yeah.
And then the conversation, God just let it, would be turned. Several accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and several were brought back to being a Christian. And one of whom was this guy that used to be under this huge, thick blanket so that nobody could see his light.
Yeah. It's, you know, in the stories, I want you to share a couple of stories as this conversation goes on. But one of the things you mentioned is that you're 72 years old. And one of the perceptions that people have is that online ministry is for young people, and it's to reach young people, and it's done by young people. Do you think you're an exception, or what has been your experience, or does age have anything to do with it?
Age has nothing to do with anything. What is needed to be an online person, and this is a ministry.
Yep.
What is needed to be an online minister is, number one, conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the solution to every situation. And if you know those two things, and number three, understand what this is.
What is that you're showing the people that are listening?
I'm showing them a Bible.
Yep, yep.
And I also have a, this is a new one, so it's not real filled in yet. But excuse me, I have all my notes, but you keep a journal.
Yeah.
So that, number one, when I say I'm going to pray for somebody, I'm going to pray for them.
Yeah.
And it, online church to me is the gateway for people all over the world to know that there are other people out there, that they are not alone.
Yeah.
And that we can, we're just a vessel. We are God's lips here on earth. I am so convicted of this. You know, we have people in hiding. My best example is Pastor Prim in Nepal.
Yep.
They just got a new constitution that now makes it against the law to, they call it proselytizing, call it witnessing. It's against the law, and they just arrested 9 people, I think it was. They did not treat them well in their prisons.
Yeah.
And it was only by international prayer that those people did get released.
Yeah, yeah.
But when, just to show you how potent the ministry of online churches, when they had their 8.9, anyway, it was a mega, Mount Everest sank 3 feet and Kathmandu rose 3 feet.
Yep.
That's what the magnitude of that. And so they had all these little tiny villages of maybe 50 to 100 people up the side of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
That had nothing. In fact, he sent us lots of pictures. Their whole entire village, because they're all built on cliffs, their whole entire village just went off the cliff.
Wow.
And here were 75, 100 people from newborns to elderly people just sitting out in the elements with nothing.
Yeah.
And on our online church did a real campaign, and we raised thousands of dollars. And at the time, Western Union was not charging any money at all to send money to
Nepal.
Yeah. So we sent tons and tons of money. And I know Pastor Martha kept saying, Prim, you cannot serve unless you take care of your family first.
Yeah.
Because if you have no place to rest, you're not going to be able to continue serving. Well, Prim doesn't pay any attention to that. So we have pictures in our logs of he got all in their small church of about 70 people.
Yeah.
He got all the men, all the teenagers, anybody who could pick up anything. And Nepali people are built different than Americans. I mean, they're one big muscle. And here were all these pictures of these men and boys going up Mount Everest. We've all seen pictures of Mount Everest and the other mountains around to these villages. And they would have a 50-pound bag of rice, a 50-pound bag of beans, another huge thing of these little plastic tarp-type tents, and the sun, what are they called? That give energy.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, like you go put on the roof.
Resources out there.
Yeah, anyway, they had probably about 200 to 300 pounds on their back climbing up this, like, 50-degree angle incline over rocks and, you know, because it's volcanics, taking food and stuff to these people. And what they would do, because most of these people are Buddhist and, you know, they're not Christians in these villages.
Right.
When they got there, when they left, because all of these people who came through online church started talking to them about how it was God, it was Jesus who was bringing them this stuff, not, you know, and they tell them about people all over the world contributing to do this. So to me, that is a stellar example of what online church does.
So I love this. You communicated that story as if you were there. And I think the reality is,
We are there.
Yeah, we are there. But so how did though, because you weren't physically there, but we were there. We were there.
Yes.
How did that shift take place, or was it a shift, but how did your understanding come to be that's so real? Because a lot of people struggle with online is if they'll say their on campus church is church, and then their online church is like virtual church, or, you know, almost like fake church.
They don't talk to very many of the hosts. Because online church is church. We take communion. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to do baptism, but we take communion, you know. And I, one person in France, all they had in their house, because the water, something was wrong with the water, so all they had was wine. So they had wine and little French bread.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, that was what Jesus had. But anyway,
I've heard of people taking Oreos and
Oreos and orange juice. Yep. you get to learn what people snack on. But and they do, they take communion, and all of us are typing, you know, in the online wall about what this means. We take prayer requests. We have a direct chat where if they want to do something private, they can come over and click on the red letter people, which are the hosts, and we have conversations. My new job is that I run the talk it over after. We have a talk it over.
Explain what that is, the talk it over after.
Okay. After the service, we then put up a link that they can go through Zoom, like you and I are doing right now. And then we talk about what happened in the service. That was our intent.
So face to face.
Yes, face to right. But what is happening more and more is we are leading people to Christ. We are praying with people. We try to keep it online as to what's going on, and then finally we just go, you know what, this is God's plan for this today. So don't tell any of the hosts, and don't tell any of the people who are sitting. There are people, we have acrophobics. I would probably say a fourth of our congregation is acrophobic. And we are church. This is church. I have one family who dresses up to come to church.
That's fun.
And they don't leave their computer. It is church.
I love it. I want to interrupt you a little bit, because I think about, you know, and you and I have been doing this together for a long time. And honestly, you've built so many personal relationships. And I think you almost forget that some of them, you know them so well that you've never touched, and you're a hugger, you know, like I know that's a challenge for you, but you do, it does become so real. And I think about too, the families, you know, military families that, you know, you and I were on the other day, and there was, you know, a mom, you know, showing us pictures of her kids, and she lives in San Antonio, but she's overseas serving. And at the same time, there's somebody from the Philippines.
Jennifer,
And there's somebody, you know, in Pakistan. I mean, there's somebody in San Antonio that couldn't be at church. And so it's amazing to see how this community comes together, but I think how real those relationships have become.
I've got, if I may, I just thought of another, one of our regulars is an acrophobic.
Explain what that is, acrophobic.
Okay, acrophobic is somebody who absolutely will not go out of their house. Yeah. They are terrified of anything other than the security of their home. They won't go see doctors, nothing. They don't leave their home. And it's a real condition, usually associated with depression.
Okay.
But anyway, he's been on, I'll call him Fred.
Yeah.
Fred has been on with us for almost a year.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there. In fact, the Army gal, Jennifer, in Afghanistan, she and I were talking, and Fred was in, it was just Jennifer, Fred, and me. And so the three of us were talking, and all of a sudden, Fred, now this man has not been out of his house in about 5 years.
Wow.
Suddenly he jumps up and he runs to the back of his room, not realizing that he was still on camera, and he had a bathrobe on, and he's pulling up pants.
Okay.
And he's putting on a shirt, and I'm going, Fred, you're on camera. You're dressing on camera. And he went, and because I wasn't the host, so I couldn't blank him. But so anyway, he comes back, and his eyes were just like this. It was like a kid who'd just been given a puppy dog.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just have to go to church. I just have to go to church. So, and then he left. And Jennifer and I prayed. You know, it was the end of the meeting anyway. And we prayed that he would make it all the way to church and that he would go in the door, because to be in your house for 4 or 5 years and suddenly walk into a building with 5,000 people worshiping.
Yeah.
And he called me, or not called me, he emailed me, or not emailed, Facebooked me on Monday.
Yeah.
And you could just hear the excitement in his voice. He said, I went in, I sat, it was crowded. Yeah. He said, it was wonderful.
That's awesome.
So I don't know. We may be losing Fred online church.
That's great.
But online church was the catalyst that our Jesus used
to
bring this man back to reality of an outside world that cares.
Yeah.
So
you never know. And I think that's the exciting thing with online church. We don't ever know who God's going to bring to the online church every week. It out of your in the last 4 years, and I know there's so many relationships. One of the things that I've loved is you've led a women's Bible study there in Nepal, where you got up at 4 a.m. in a video conference to Nepal for a group of 20 women
And live.
We got to give them sweaters. The relationships you built, it's been so fun to watch. But is there one relationship where you just immediately think of, this is just a unique relationship that I can't imagine not having? And I know there's probably hundreds of those, and maybe a thousand people. Is there one that you think about?
Okay, I've already, to me, Prim and Kusum, they're like my children. They call me mommy.
Yeah.
But I think the thing...
Them and many other people call you mommy.
Lots do.
Yeah.
But I think the thing, because when I moved here, I basically didn't know a lot of people. And of course, I've gotten to know a lot of people through the hosts that are here.
Yeah.
But my two closest people are a gal named Jennifer, not the Afghanistan one, a girl named Jennifer, a woman named Jennifer, who lives in the Philippines. And another woman by the name of Anne, who lives in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Who we finally got to meet each other.
That's awesome.
At the online conference last year.
Yeah.
And these two women, and they feel the same way about me, we have gotten so close because of our difference in time, because 13 hours between us and the Philippines.
Yeah.
When Jennifer can't sleep, we get on Zoom and we pray and we talk. When I can't sleep, she's wide awake.
Yep. So,
I mean, it's just, we are friends. We may never meet. I have taken both of these women via my cell phone and sometimes my computer. And they've sat in the service with us.
Yeah.
There is a young man in Rwanda that had no church, no nothing, who said, you know, that he loved the Lord and he just wanted to worship. Well, there's not enough battery to do a whole service, but what I would do is I would record, you know, in Facebook, you can do a verbal, and I would send him all the hymns, and he would go down the street playing these hymns, witnessing to all the Rwanda orphan street kids.
Yeah.
So it's online church. If people understand it for what it is, that it is a mission field.
Mm-hmm.
That it is the mission field of today.
Yeah.
That God's work can be done magnanimously. I mean, just the possibilities are endless. We now have, and of course, I don't know how they're coming to us, but there's one blip on the map.
Yeah.
Not every Sunday, but many times a month, that shows up in North Korea.
Mm.
And I'm going, wow, you know, and here is, to me, God is in the middle of this, because the joke was, Well, we won't be complete till we get Australia. Nobody from Australia would ever be, because it's the middle of the night.
Right, right.
Well, we jokingly, it was half joke, but still in your heart, yeah, there's a seriousness.
Yep.
There are now, and not every week, but there are now a couple of different spots on the map in Australia.
Wow.
So we are on every continent in the world in 5 years that online church has been.
And I pulled some stats the other day, Ruthie. We've reached 2.5 million different people from over 200 different countries and territories around the world. And so
I can believe that.
You know, and God is allowing us to reach to the ends of the earth through these technologies. I think, and I wanted to just say to you, Ruthie, thank you for your commitment to the ministry and your willingness and availability to.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Technologies, because you could have easily just resisted. So that's not real. But because you made yourself available,
it's church.
You've been able to build these relationships and minister to people all over the world. And as you've gone through cancer treatments and so many other things, you've continued not just to allow people to minister to you through these technologies, but then continue to minister to them. So I appreciate your availability and willingness. What any last piece of advice you'd want to share with a pastor or church leader about online church?
Okay. For me, I have, and this is a personal testimony that I have to give that I hope will help them. You brought up the cancer part. I wasn't going to ask for sympathy. But in the last 2 years, it'll be exactly 2 years, July 30th.
Yeah.
But I have literally, they have told all my friends who are around me that, you know, be prepared to bury her because she's not going to come out of this surgery twice.
Yeah.
And when I woke up both times, my very first thought was, thank you, God. You're letting me know. I'm sorry, I can't do this. You're letting me know that I need to be doing your work. And the only work that I know to do is online church. So I had somebody bring me, I did online church from the hospital.
Wow.
Because it's church. And if you're not there, all these people who are in foreign countries who have learned that you are their mentor, because in foreign countries, old women are mentor. Old women in foreign countries have great esteem. Finally, no. But all I can say to pastors is they themselves need to get on. And even if they put a fictitious name because they don't want all of their people that are involved in it thinking, Pastor so-and-so is here to spy on us.
Yeah.
Use your wife's account or use your kid's account or something and get on and just see what happens. Yeah. It will change your perspective. And I love the way Pastor Ed always, every Sunday, every Saturday, acknowledges the church that we've got started in the northern part of San Antonio and online church. And then he always makes the statement, because we're one house.
Yeah.
And we are. We're one. It's like, okay, a good example would be for the pastors. Put yourself in the education department of your church.
Yep.
You don't have the 80-year-olds learning with the kindergartners. They each have their own appointed classroom that they go to, but guess what? They're all Sunday school.
Yep.
And that online church is the new arm of the new age. And to me is critical. Critical.
Well, I would encourage all the pastors out there to go to onlinechurch.com.
They can call me.
Yeah. When you go to online church, you'll probably see Ruthie on there because she's on there a lot. And she, add her, and if you add her on Facebook, She's likely to add you back and send you a message, and I promise you she will respond to you.
Yeah.
And I know she would love to encourage you in any way possible and just pray over you, because that's what she loves
pick
to do.
Pick my brain.
And pick her brain. And she will share and invest tremendously into your ministry. So thanks everybody for listening. And if you want to use the hashtag SMC podcast on Twitter or Instagram, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And Ruthie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Nils.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.